Okay, those that weren't here last week, could you give that out to anybody? All right. This is my light. Let there be light. I got Dave reading. Put that over there.
What version do you want me to read in, bro?
The New King James Version for this particular.
Oh, I got King James, ESV.
How about New King James? Just do King James. Yeah, for Colossians, do that one. Okay? That'd be great. We're going to look at it so I'll call on you as we do it. This is so I can know it. All right, let's pray. Father, we got lots of good stuff here. Lots of good things. And I want it to be good. We want it to be helpful, pertinent to our lives, Lord. And we pray for wisdom in that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to act like you were all here last time. Okay? I have nothing to say about last week except this. Paul was never at Colossae, never visited it. And in chapter 4, verse 2 on, is a very practical conclusion to that book. And we had a very lively discussion last week, I really appreciate it. So let's go to, I believe it's verse 6. Why don't you read verse 6?
Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Perhaps Paul is thinking of the Gnostics who came into this church and they tried to ruin the church. And Paul took care of them rather nicely. Okay? Perhaps he had that in mind. We are to be able to answer those with words of wisdom and faithfulness to the Word of God. Years ago in my house, Pam's house, we've lived there 42 years, we had a Bible study, an evangelistic Bible study of, I don't know, at least 20 people jammed in my family room. Kind of cool. And a lot of the people that were there of our church, Lakeside Bible Chapel, they were just very excited about things of God. And they wanted the truth to be true and nobody speaking untruth. Well, we had a couple unsaved people come in that night, okay? And I don't know, they got carried away a little bit, okay? Because the unsaved people basically didn't even believe in God, and they were very vocal. Well, I hate to tell you, we kind of, and I was even a part of it, we pretty much took these two people and put a nail in the wall about 8 feet high in the family room and hung them both on there and said, don't talk anymore. We didn't literally do that, but you get what I'm saying? We did not follow this scripture. We just didn't do it. We were too anxious for the truth to be out and not allow untruth to be spoken. Anybody relate to that at all in your life? Anybody? Give me one. Give me a quick one. Go ahead.
I belong to a couple senior centers, and we lunch together all the time.
Yeah.
They're all Catholics. And I have a hard time trying to be gracious with telling them how wrong they are. And even when I just speak casually, I says, I'm not afraid to die anymore because I'm saved and I'm going to be with Jesus and that'll be fine. And they will come back the opposite way. Well, you can't go right to Jesus. You got to spend some time in purgatory. And, you know, I have to bite my tongue.
Good illustration. Yes. About 5 years ago, I was teaching an evangelistic Bible study about 5 miles north of here, 15 in Moravian, or 15 in Utica Road. In my group was a witch. I had a documented witch in my class for 6 months. And she was tough. You know, again, she was rough. But I used to say to her, listen, you are not going to take over this class. I'm teaching this, and you're not going to take over. And I was kind of rough on her. But I don't know about you. Do you think I handled it right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise, you know where we were going to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
She would have hijacked her class. Years ago, a friend of mine, a godly man, a man who led people, just a fantastic Christian friend of mine, his brother-in-law was dying. And he hated his brother-in-law. Did I tell this story? Does anybody remember?
No.
Because I can't even remember what I spoke of last week. Anyway, he couldn't stand him. The guy was a wife beater. He was a fraud. He was violent. He was everything you didn't want to be. And this brother friend of mine, he did not like this guy at all. He despised him. Well, guess what? The guy came down with stage 4 cancer. And I mean, he's going to die like within the week. I said, Carm, we got to go see that guy. No, not gone. Carm, we got to go see him. We got to go see him. So we did. And believe it or not, we walked into the room and Barry Malloy only said hello, and that's all he said for 40 minutes. And I mean that. I never said anything else. I was a good boy. Carm presented the gospel. Oh, it was wonderful. I wish I had a tape of it. And he led him to Jesus Christ. I mean it. That man, I believe, was truly saved that night. And he died at 2 a.m. How do you like that? That actually happened to me. So guys, be careful. We got to be careful. You know? And just any other thing. Go ahead.
You got to be faithful like you were.
Try. Go ahead.
As someone who has dealt with a fair amount of family strife.
Yes. But your folks are Christians, right?
Yeah. 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 Just different personalities.
Yep.
I've seen firsthand how the words that you use, if you pick your words carefully, they can convey your point while preserving the relationship.
Yes.
Your words are seasoned with salt, which is preservative, so you can preserve the relationship.
Yes.
Whereas if you use different words, if you choose to use different words, they can be a destructive force.
Yes.
And also on the spiritual side, if your words can preserve the soul as opposed to destroy the soul.
That's right.
So yeah. Words can be a preservative in many different ways.
Yes. Good thinking. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I had a friend of mine who's going on now, but his wife, he didn't know it at the time, and there was a lot of things that were hidden in their marriage. This woman was a witch. She was a Satanist. As they were separating themselves, when they were going through a divorce, he found Satanist material in the home, daggers for blood sacrifice, and stuff like that. He ended up towards the end, and he passed away at 48 years old. He went from normal health to within 1 month he was in hospice. It just was that quick.
Yeah.
He died at 48. But anyway, this woman was a confessed. He found out later, and she did confess the fact about being a witch. So it's real.
You know what it is? Oh, it's there. I was in Salem, Massachusetts last summer. You talk about Satan. I said to Pam, let's get out of here. Nice town, but let's get out of here. All kinds of weirdos. Okay, let's move on. We're going to look at thank you. We're going to talk about thank you. I'm going to say, is Bert here today?
No.
Oh. Good. I mean, only for this comment. You know, I love the Puritans. I love the Pilgrims. I read their writings, and all the rest. And they always emphasize, and I'm with them 100%, glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. But how about a thank you once in a while? How about a thank you once in a while? Sometimes you can get so overwhelmed that it's, oh, God gets all the glory. You don't even thank anybody anymore because God gets the glory. No, no, I don't buy that. And I want to share it now as we look at the great Apostle Paul right here. Let's take a look. Pastor, would you read verse 7 and 8?
Tychius will tell you all about all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a papal minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, that he may encourage your hearts.
So he starts off with this, and he's going to send this fella. And notice how he sends very encouraging words. Very encouraging words. Okay, now verse 9.
He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here.
Oh my goodness. We got a slave who's fled from his master. And Paul's saying, man, treat him well because he's a great brother. How you like that? Pretty cool, eh? I like that. Accept him into the fellowship. Let him break bread. Let him be with the people. Come to their homes. Oh, by the way, he's an escaped slave. You know, he's wanted. He's a wanted man. Isn't that cool? Any comment? I like that. All right, 10.
My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him.
Paul says, Mark. My goodness, Mark. By the way, isn't it cool? He's the cousin of Barnabas. Huh? What happened between Paul and Barnabas?
Disagreement.
Yeah, it was a little split, a little split.
Because of Mark.
Because of Mark. Paul says, here he is. Here's my dear brother. Here's my dear brother. And I want to say a lot of good things about him. Be encouraged. Huh? Isn't that good? What a guy. Verse 11.
Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me.
Jesus. How many of you have met somebody this week named Jesus? How many have ever met somebody named Jesus, but you never called him Jesus? You call him Jesus.
Jesus, but that's still Jesus.
Oh, I know, I know. No, I agree. But isn't it? You don't hear it very often. Well, what a brother! He's a fellow Jew. He's a Jew. Isn't that great? How about 12?
Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured.
Isn't that great? Here's this guy coming. This guy's spending hours wrestling. I don't know, I take the word literally. He's wrestling, rolling on the floor, praying, begging God to help you, encourage you. Isn't that cool? He's a wonderful brother. Isn't that good? Paul says, boy, is he a great brother. Huh? All right. 13.
I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and those at Laodicea and Hierapolis.
A great zeal for you. Pile it on, folks, with appreciation, was my thought as I read this. Pile it on. Any thoughts? I want to ask you a question. I wonder if there's anybody in this room right now who's willing to stand up and thank the Lord for somebody in your life right now, not in this room and not a relative. I wonder if there's anybody who's willing to stand up and say that to the Lord right now and say something really nice about that person.
I will.
Go ahead.
I thank you, Lord, for Barry and
his... No, not Barry.
You said not in this room.
Not Barry.
Okay.
So I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Bob and his love for the Word, his love for you and his and the family and the church. I thank you for all that he does and how he studies and stands firm in righteousness and seeking righteousness and justice for all of us.
Yes, amen. How about one more? Go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus, for paying for my sins and treating my yoke, which was heavy and I didn't even want to live with all the guilt and shame I carried. And when someone told me in prison that Jesus paid my bail and I'm free to go, it was a tremendous lift of a burden off of me. Thank you, Jesus.
He's in this room, brother.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. All right, 14.
Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings.
Luke, sorry, I'm going to get excited here. Luke, good grief, you're there. Dr. Luke, you're in prison with this. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Oh, by the way, in his spare time, he wrote a long book all about Jesus. What a book it was. And he wrote it to one person. To one person. Imagine that. Oh, not enough. I learned a lot about the church. So he wrote the phenomenal book of Acts to one person. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can you believe a man like this? And he doesn't even say something nice about Luke here. But I know he loved him, don't you? You know he loved him. Any thoughts? Any thoughts? I just love that. I love it. Go ahead.
Say that expression, dear friend.
Yes.
In the
yeah, dear friend.
Like if we're introducing.
You're a dear friend of mine.
If we introduce somebody and they are special, you know, we'll say, you know, so-and-so, I want you to meet my dear friend, right?
Last call. Anybody? Okay. Let me get my bearings here. 15.
Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house.
Can you imagine having a church in Laodicea? You know, every time I think of Laodicea, I think of bad. But there were some good things going on too, I guess. Love for regional places. Paul, again, mentioned these. Pass this letter on. Get it around. Let others know in the region. 17.
You mean 16?
Yeah, go 16, sorry.
All right. After this letter has been read to you, see to it that it's also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea.
And then 17.
Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
Oh, man. Here's a man being commended to the work by the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, as best we know, was hardly could see. But he says, hey, look, I wrote this one. I wrote this part. I didn't have help with it. I like that because I'm going blind. And then 18, final comment. Final comment, 18.
I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
Yes, amen. Any final comments? We're going to forget this portion and move on to Habakkuk.
Barry, the only thing I'm wondering.
Go ahead.
You talked about dear you.
Yeah.
What about Demas? Demas?
I'm sorry. Yeah. What are your thoughts? What's your thoughts?
Well, obviously something happened in Demas.
Yeah.
In Colossians, he was walking with the Lord. He was part of Paul's circle of friends, and something happened, and Demas forsook Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Paul doesn't tell us why Demas was forsaken.
Very good.
I don't know that they were falling out, or they just had this self-call. Paul said he wouldn't go any
further with Luke because he, I don't know where he was at. Are you sure it was Luke? I think it was Mark. I think it was Barnabas.
Mark.
And then Mark. But then later on, Mark... things got resolved.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It was Mark. I was going to say. Well, that's all we know, is that Demas forsook him. I mean, it sounds...
Yeah.
It sounds like
It sounds like it was a mutual dispute, right?
Okay.
But, you know, when it says Demas forsook me, that sounds different. That sounds like it was all on Demas' side. Like, you know, that...
Yeah.
You know, it was perhaps a different type of scenario.
Well, let's pray.
It is a warning.
Thank you. Thank you for this last portion of this great book. I pray that each of us would be thoughtful and live this life. Don't be afraid that we might not be afraid to thank people and to tell them to be grateful. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I was walking in this morning. I had no idea I was going to do this. I was walking in this morning right there. And who gets out of the car? Who's the electrician guy in our church? Been around a zillion years. Bob Hume's getting out of the car. Okay? He's getting out of the car. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just walking in. Bob, how you doing? Bob, Bob, Bob. I know we're having a nice conversation. I said, Bob, I want to tell you something. I talked to the people at Harvester Class or whatever it's called now. It's a merger of about three. Harvest Roads, there it is. And I said, man, are you teaching today? He said, I'm teaching today. He said, did they ever enjoy your teaching? He said, really? I said, yeah, I'm hearing it from 5-6 different people, and I am. How you like that? I made his day. His wife said, boy, nobody ever says a word to him. Hey, be thankful.
Amen.
Am I right? Be thankful.
Absolutely.
This is the way to live. Oh, I know what everybody said. Well, then, you know, you're going to exaggerate. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Yes. Yeah, little things we have to think.
Oh, who do we got here? Wait, I want to stop. This is Joy Sam. Are you ready? And now we're going to pause. And listen, if you can speak up a little bit. And I know you got a handkerchief, and you should. Go ahead, sister. We're listening to every word.
I'm good to be here, and I'm thankful that I'm here. And I want to say thank you for all the little things. Like, I'm here. I'm so thankful.
Yes.
And in our life, it's just little things. We need to say thank you.
Yeah.
We drink. Yeah. Because there's some people who can't eat right now.
Yes.
You go to the bathroom.
Yes. Yes.
Everything.
Yes. Christian is home as of Monday.
Thankful for you guys. Thank you for praying. And my husband, this life every day is very important to me.
Yes.
And I want to ask a prayer. Continue praying for him, please.
Yes. Father, we are overwhelmed what our dear brother Christian and Joy and the children and other family members have been through. Lord, we pray a healing would take place, that some form of normalcy with all these body parts removed could take place. And they are an example to us of Christianity. Praising you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Joy. I didn't know you were here. And I'm going to tell one more story as a result of this. Sorry. Got to tell it. Just got to be told. Where's Evan? There he is. Evan and I went to visit them a couple weeks ago at Beaumont Hospital, okay? And Evan's wanting, I've been taking him around visiting sick people because he said, before I was saved, we never visited anybody sick except family members, amen? Whole different life now, desire to do this. So I've had him at Russ's house, had him out there. Okay, keep it short. I know, too many stories, but I got to tell it. Long story short. We get up there. It's tough. Joy's there. His mother's there. And about a half an hour later, Jerry Benge arrived also. So Evan and I sit down. So we had a good time. We read the scripture. We had a little Bible study, and so on. And I decided that it was time to sing. You didn't know it. I'm a soloist at hospitals. So I had, we sang 4 or 5 songs that night. Anyway, as I was getting ready to sing the first song, I had it all thought through what I wanted to do with the first one, and I'm going to sing it right now because she's here. And as we began to do it, a Muslim lady, beautiful lady, I mean, all you could see is his face, but boy, the face looked beautiful. You know, she's all covered and everything. And she walked in with a big machine, and she says, I'm going to be doing some bunch of testing and, you know, that, you know, the things you got to do. And I said, okay, fine. So after a minute or so, I said to her, I said, hey, would you mind if I sang a song right now? She said, sure. Yeah, go right ahead while you're working. I said, you just keep doing it. And again, this is the song I had thought to sing at that moment, not even thinking she was going to walk in the door. Are you ready? Here goes. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? What do you think of that? She said, oh, that was good. I said, that's concerning my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christian was crying like a baby with joy. With joy. All right?
Literally and figuratively.
That could not have been pre-planned, David, huh? In 1,000 years. Can you imagine? God was there.
Can I share something?
Please do. Please do.
Let's see. Friday, Everett Wilcox and I took a road trip down to Lincoln Park, and we were able to witness to about 4 people.
Great.
One of them was a Muslim guy. His name was Ray, and got to talking to him and start talking about the claims of Jesus Christ. And he didn't know Christ, but he thought he did, you know. So I had I give away Bibles and tracts, and so I had Everett grab a Bible out of the truck, and we opened to John 14:6, and we spent a little time there. And then I was able to engage him in conversation about the claims of Jesus Christ and the claims of Muhammad. And we talked.
Great.
And I said, now they both can't be right. So either Jesus Christ is a liar or he's not. And then we left. We prayed. I said, can I pray with you? He said, of course. So I prayed with him. And Everett was there too. We prayed. And shook the guy's hand and walked out. But it was fun.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Don't stop, brother. Let's go to the book of Habakkuk. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who has read this in the last year? Raise your hand. Joyce, how many hands are raised? Oh, no, not counting in preparation. Who's read it in the last year? All right. Here's a trick. Here's a good question. See if you can do it. Who knows what book is after this book, and you're not allowed to sing that Bible song to figure it out?
I think it's Zephaniah.
Huh? Zephaniah? I told you I like this guy, Gabriel. He's a walking Bible. All right, that's good. I want to be clear here this morning concerning this brother. He was not a self-centered person. He was a true patriot of his nation. And we learn, too, that he was a musician of some sort. Okay? He loved his nation. He was a prophet, and he loved his nation. His people continued to sin and do all kinds of terrible things, and they continued to rebel against the Lord, and it was just unbelievably how upset this dear brother was. But two unbelievable questions come out early on. Two unbelievable questions come out from his lips to God. To God. He says this stuff. None of us would do this except in the privacy of our home. I don't think. And these burst forth from his lips, folks. He was so disgusted with Judah and what was going on. He couldn't stand it anymore, and he threw out two questions. How long, God? And why? Anybody ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Ask God how long? Every
huh?
day?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Are you with me?
Every day.
Okay. I mean, he's really upset. He's disgusted. I want to stop and pray. Lord, our country, our own country, killed 60 million babies. 60 million. They have normalized homosexuality so bad that I can't even talk about it as being sin hardly without being arrested. And I'm disgusted, Lord. I'm disgusted. How long? How long, Lord?
Yes, Father.
Why? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is in a unique place in the canon of Scripture. Okay? We'll be looking at 2 verse 4. Chapter 2 verse 4 has the distinction, as we read it this morning, has the distinction of being quoted three times, three glorious times in the New Testament. Romans, Galatians, in Hebrew, and we'll look at some of this, maybe, in next week. It's glorious. This little tiny book, nobody's read the last year, you know. We don't even know about this guy. He's never mentioned again in the Bible. And God used this. And boy, let me tell you, I'm going to tell you how he used it. You wait till you see it. You already know. The Reformation. We don't know for sure when this happened. We don't have exact dates unless Professor David Dunham, is he here?
Yes.
Yeah, but I got no dates.
You got no dates. Yeah, he wasn't there. Oh, anyway, probably around 600 BC, Babylonian captivity time. Background. Let's talk about background a little bit and the theme. The religious revival under King Josiah, it didn't last long. It didn't last long at all. Nope. And Habakkuk wrestled with Jehovah. He wrestled with him over the sin and the punishment that needed to be done on his own people. They were so wicked, so many of them. It was a catastrophe. It broke his heart. He's perplexed. He's perplexed that God does not punish this sin, these sins, the iniquities. What's going on here, Lord? Oh, my goodness. Where's the rest of my notes? Oh, yeah, here we go. Okay. I have over-prepared for this lesson today. I have. I mean, it might not sound like it, but you have no idea. I just research and, you know, all this stuff, and I'm going blind. It makes it take twice as long, and it's just the way it is. All right. So let's take a look at this. Let's start looking. Let's go to chapter 1, Okay? What I did everybody get an outline? Yeah. Kate, bring that back next week. That's sort of an outline of the book. Okay? And it's a good one. It's well done. And it's not mine. I stole it from a preacher by the name of William McDonald. Okay? So we will refer to that as we go through this, and let's take a look. Any comments before we go? Are you ready? Now, Evan and Nineveh are kind of favorite people of me. I mean, you're all favorite, but I like these guys. I like these guys. They're Chaldeans. And we are going to slam the Chaldean Empire today. So, Evan, if you want to get up and walk out, brother, you can go. You can go. Because we don't have much good to say about the Chaldeans.
No, see, Barry, before I came to Christ, I used to take post in Chaldean, being Catholic, but after being born again, I just care about Christ.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Oh, it's good. It's good. All right. Let me get my bearings here. David, would you read verses 1 through 4 with enthusiasm this time?
Chapter 1?
Oh. Yeah, chapter 1.
The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou shew me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and they are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth.
Boy, good reading. Good reading. Would somebody read that first paragraph thing I have there? Read that number one.
The prophet is perplexed that God does not punish the iniquity of Judah.
He is. He is. He's perplexed. And he's speaking out about it. Give me your thoughts as you heard this read. Pretty bold, eh?
Nothing new under the sun.
Nothing new under the sun, that's for sure, sister.
Perplex me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand.
I'm perplexed.
Go. Huh? What other thoughts? Go ahead.
Some of my most intense prayers have been complaining to God and imprecatory prayers. And He gives me great, great, great peace.
Yes.
When I complain to him.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know the context. I know he's sovereign. I know he's in control. It's my lack of faith. It's my sinfulness. It's my foolishness. But he knows my frame.
Yes.
He knows what I'm made of. He knows I'm a fearful, frightened little punk of a man, yeah, who needs him.
Yes.
And then he comforts me.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's read 12 through 17 and we'll just touch it.
Chapter 1?
Yeah.
Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And, oh, mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of pure eyes and behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore thou lookest upon them that deal treacherously and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he. How far?
17. And through 17.
And makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and be glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto the net and burn incense unto their drag. Because of them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations?
All right. Could somebody read item number 3?
Habakkuk now questions God's choice of a more wicked nation to punish Judah.
I'm going to say it like I would say it. If here's Habakkuk. Lord, are you kidding me?
Right.
Are you kidding me? You're going to take these 2 for a nickel Chaldeans, these worthless people, these vicious killers, and you're going to let them come and punish Judah? How can this be? Did I say it right?
Yep.
That's what I get from it. How can you do this, Lord? It's not right.
And then in verse 17.
Go ahead.
He says, is he then to keep emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations? What, are you going to let them kill the whole world?
Yeah. Take it all over. I'll elaborate on this next week. When my daughter, Sarah, my youngest of 2 children, was dying in February. And it didn't look good at all. Okay? And Pam and I, as we drive, we pray a lot. I don't know. We find, Bob says don't multitask when you pray, but he multitasks too. So we pray while we drive and so on. So we pulled out of a store or something, and we're on our way up to the hospital. And we're thinking my daughter's going to probably pass away. What was it? She had meningitis. Don't ever wish that on anybody. Okay, and I'll just close with this. I prayed to God, and I said, Lord, could you give us a break today? Could you please give us a break? Is there something that could happen? I'll just say this. It's a good story, but I'm not going to tell it all now. Miraculously, we arrived. We had 5 doctors looking at her all the time. Brain doctors, the whole body doctors. A man unrelated to us walked in and said, your daughter is going to be well.
Praise God.
I have reviewed your entire case, and she has, I don't know what he said, 1,300 little fibers down her spine and in her, up here and all this, okay? They're all screwed up. They're like electrical wires all, and they're all healing right now. Can you believe that? I did question God. I did. And as I thought of it as I read this. Can you relate?
Oh, yeah.
Just, Lord, thank you. I'm sorry. I probably got way off. Nobody's going to come and thank me, and I don't want anybody thanking me. But perhaps something good could come of this. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.